Oh, welcome to another Neil's Minute. So I'm on this roll. The Lord has keep bringing me back to John 15. I made it through verse 8 on my first attempt to share all that the Father is wanting me to share. He wants people to really begin to look at the reality of how are they judging themselves. Are you judging yourself spiritually correct, or are you deceiving yourself? Our walk is measurable. Our love is measurable. My love for Dana, my wife, is very measurable. If I am only just saying I love you and singing to her all the time, I don't know that that's going to be enough for her to say, "You really love me, Neil." I'm pretty sure it's not. Dana's not interested in me coming in and doing the same thing every day, praying, asking forgiveness, and then singing, and then listening to something, and then going home and going about my life. Dana wants more than that. If I am truly her husband, which Jesus is our husband, but if I am truly Dana's husband, then I must take care of her. I must show her my love. I must show people around me my love for Dana. There has to be an exhibition of the truth that Dana is a priority in my life. There is no place I've ever been in the world where I've preached the gospel or taught discipleship or intimacy or servant leadership or anything else that people don't know I love my wife, because I always am talking about how she has done things and how many of the words that I'm using actually came from something that Dana prompted in me. So she's a part of my conversation, is what I'm trying to say. She's a part of my walk, even when I'm halfway around the world. Dana is still a part of my walk. She's still a part of my thinking. She's still a part of me breathing, in a sense. And that's what God is looking for from us. There is a reality. I place my people in the midst of adversity to bring my presence. You know, God tells us we're going to be persecuted. They're going to hate you because they hated me. That's adversity. But there's adversity through life. In work, in things I do, there's problems that show up. When those problems show up, God wants me to reveal Him in the midst of those problems to those who are around us. How am I going to do that? Well, it isn't going to be because I'm sitting in my house praying all the time, and it isn't going to be because I go and have fellowship on Sunday. Sunday fellowship is just a little teeny taste of the fellowship we're supposed to be having with one another. Forsake not the fellowshipping together or the gathering together of the saints, and even more so as you see the day approaching. We need each other to gain strength from each other. But the most important thing, one we need, is Jesus. But if we say we have Jesus, it needs to show. I do works because of my faith, not to get faith. I do things with Jesus, and I do works, in a sense, as a result of my relationship, not to get the relationship. My works show my relationship. James says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." So our works are showing people our faith, not to gain more faith. That was pretty freebie there. So let's go on here. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. How has Jesus loved us? He died for me. He gave up all his desire, all that he was. He lived in the presence of God. He is a part of God. And yet he gave that up so that I might be able to get to heaven, that I might be able to see Jesus. So the reality of what I'm saying is that I to abide in his love, verse 10 goes right ahead and it shows what it means. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you see, we can measure our love. See, if you abide in me and keep my commandments, you abide in my love. You will abide in my love. So I don't keep the commandments because I have to. I keep God's commandments and do what he desires because I love him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you love me. Jesus, as a man, abode in the Father's love. How do we know? Because he gave Jesus things to do to bring his presence to the world. How do we know we abide in Jesus? If we are sharing the reality of the relationship we have with him to others, and it makes a difference in their lives. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, go back up and look at what he's talking about, keeping his commands. You abide in his love. And he says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. The way that we have more joy and the way our joy overflows to others is when we have been obedient to the need of the relationship. The need of the relationship is that which reveals the relationship to the person you love and to the others that see this love. God's love is always natural, supernatural. And in the midst of that, he is always showing himself through doing things that are impossible for us to do. We call them coincidences. We call them a lot of things. But they're God's interaction in the midst of our lives that show that he's there. And it's supposed to be that which reveals him to others. Dear Jesus, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave his life for me. Jesus laid down everything that he had. He was with the Father in heaven. He was a part of the Father. And he gave that up to bring life to me. And we sit in front of our TVs or in the pews in our church and applaud one another for being there. How does that show the world the Father's love? How does that really show love? It's a part of who we're to be, to gather together, whether it be in a Sunday service or in somebody's house over a meal. We're to gather together and fellowship, talk about Jesus, talk about who we are, talk about what we feel in the Lord. We're to have fellowship one with another. But the reality is that if we're going to love others the way Christ loved us, we're going to have to do verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has this. What is our life? He's not talking about killing or dying so much as he is dying to self. Well, I want to watch the game, football game that my team is playing, and so I can't come to your house during that time because my football team is playing. My basketball team is playing. Whatever it is that distracts us from the reality of our life and takes power or position or presence above the desire of God's heart for the day. I don't want to do this, Neil, because I've got plans. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. I love to fish, but I only made it four times this year. I only made it out fishing four times because there were things that God had that were more important than my needs, than my desires. You know, if I'd have went fishing, I'd have been miserable because I wasn't where God wanted me. I literally try to live with the reality that my goal in showing God I love him is to give him the desire of his heart, which is to bring someone else to him. He says, you know, all of heaven doesn't stand still when we gather together on a service or we gather together and preach the gospel. All of heaven stands still when one soul is saved. That word saved is to make safe from the enemy. So that's an interaction in their lives and bringing them to a freedom if they were in drugs or bringing them to freedom if they were self-centered and always about how much money and how much fun they have. There's this place in Christ that he wants us to lay down our lives as he laid down his life for us. We are to lay our lives down or our desires, our needs down to bring someone else into the kingdom. Amen. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. There's a whole bunch in there. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. See, that's the need of the relationship. The word command in that sense, enjoin to do, charge with. Command to be done, enjoin, charge. It's not so much as God doesn't want us to obey because of our fear or trying to obey to have a relationship. Our obeying his command to be love would dictate that me doing something like that would simply be me trying to do something to win a relationship, which he tells us, no, that's not the key. It's because you have the relationship, you do those things because you love me and you want me to know, so you do that which I love so that it shows that you love me. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He doesn't call us servants, for a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Why did he make them known to us? So we could have an abundance and lord it over people how wonderfully rich and famous we are? I don't think so. I believe that God is much deeper than that, and he's much more simple than that. He wants the world to recognize the naturally supernatural love of God that goes beyond anything that we can ask or think, to provide for those around us, to be an answer to setting people free, to deliver them from the wiles of the enemy, to destroy the enemy's works. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to restart this on another day and take this further. Blessings for being a part of this. Love you. I pray that you are examining yourself and the truth of your relationship with Jesus.